time. Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us. It's a beautiful Tuesday evening, but Tuesday, you know what that means. It's time for Change Matter Solutions. We do this each and every Tuesday here on the Intentional Talk Radio Network. It's 7 o'clock here in Big D, Dallas, Tejas. It is 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and it's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. And if you're in the Mountain Time Zone, hey, you do the math. We've got another great show lined up for you, so stick and stay and don't go away. And remember, tell a neighbor, tell a friend to join the Change Matters movement. I'm your host, Kenny Hendricks.
Fred Williams, and stick and stay, don't go away. We've got a great show. And you hear that, Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics. Women, sisters, we do it all. And we do get a little help every now and then, but nevertheless, we do it all. We're doing it for ourselves. But we're going to have a conversation this afternoon on this warm, hot, toasty firecracker Tuesday, right here on ITR in radio. We're going to have a great conversation. We're going to talk about what is in the news. And I know you've heard Roe v. Wade. I know you've heard gun control. I know you have heard the insults to Vice President Kamala Harris. I know you have heard. This is crazy. I know you've heard about all of the shootings. I know you have heard. What do you think about the things that are going on? Never, ever in all the years, and I've got 70 years, I've never seen such chaos and hysteria. All kinds of things are going on. What in the world is going on?
It is pretty bad out there. I have to admit that. It is. Well, let me say it differently. It is really bad out there. It is really bad really out bad. There. I mean, again, the Roe v. Wade, again, that's been law for 50 years, going on 50 years. And in one fell swoop, they get, never mind. We don't want that. You know, but this is the thing. This is the thing. People on the left don't understand, particularly these people who talk about, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. This is what you get.
Right.
You know, and I forget who it was that said, the only thing that's needed for bad men to succeed is for good men to stand around and not do anything. So you've got good people who say, I don't like Joe Biden. He was not my first pick. But he's a damn sight better than what we had before.
Yeah, because look at where we are because of what we had before.
Yeah. You know, so people, you know, get with the program. We have to keep these. Sometimes, many times, it's not about who you're voting for. It's who you're voting against. Yeah. You may not like that, but guess what? That's the reality of it. I'm sorry. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
Welcome
yeah.
to adulthood.
And when you talk about what the other did, what he has done and what he has not done, you know, just look around. Just look around, people. What does it take to look around and get a whiff of what's really going on? How out of control things really are. And things are out of control. We've never lost control in the way that we have now. We've never lost control like this, regardless to who was in the White House. We have never lost control like this.
Did you watch the hearing today?
No, I didn't watch the hearing today. No.
It was a surprise hearing. They say they weren't supposed to meet until like next month again.
Right. 2 weeks. They were going to be on recess for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And last night they announced a surprise hearing, a surprise a witness. And I'm going to tell you, let me put it like Bob Woodward put it. Before they came on, he was on CNN and they asked him, what do you think they're going to have to do? Because they have done a great job. They've done a great job. It's been 2 hours, which is not too long. You don't get bored. It's more than an hour, so you've got enough time. He said, Bob Woodward said, they've got to come big. He says, thus far, they've under-committed and over-delivered. They've over-delivered the whole thing. They've been great. He said, they got to come big. And afterwards, he said, yeah, they came big in a bag of chips.
Wow, really?
They've been talking about it on the news all afternoon. Bombshell stuff. The fact that there were armed people trying to get into where he was giving the speech, and his people were telling him, there's some people out there that are armed, and they can't get in. Of course, you know, he wants to make sure his crowds are big, even though he lies about it. They couldn't get past, and I'm going to mess up the name, the magnetometers, you know, the metal detectors. He said, let them in. They're not going to hurt me. He says, then they can go down to the Capitol.
Really?
Yeah. And this is a woman, young girl, 26 years old, who was there. This is not hearsay. She was there when he said it.
Wow.
He was okay with that.
You know, well, and the other is Liz Cheney. If I could, I would vote for Liz Cheney.
She's done a bang up job. I got to tell you, I've never liked her.
I've never liked her. Yeah.
And see, I can respect a person. They may be on the opposite end of the spectrum politically with me, but I can respect how she is completely down the middle. She's completely business, and that's all it is. That's all it is. And right. the orange ain't his, since he can't tweet, he put it on his own social media site that there's nobody there to cross examine these witnesses because they won't send anybody there. And half the people that they subpoena won't show up.
Yeah, they won't show up.
Some, right. some that do show up, like Mike Flynn, plead the fifth 100 times.
Wow, that's crazy.
This makes Watergate look like a walk in the park, like Boy Scouts.
Yes, walking
rapidly across the street. Yep.
Yeah.
It is that. You know, if you get a chance, it's going to be on YouTube. It's there out there already. You know, it's riveting. The first maybe half an hour is a little bit slow, but man, once they put that thing in gear and you're sitting there going, oh my God, you got to be kidding.
Right. And the messaging is just, that's what's so incredible, the messaging. Because what they're doing is they're pulling out all of the stops to let you know what this idiot has done and what he did to incite this coup that took place on January 6th. I really don't understand why they have to go through this process, because we all witnessed it. The entire planet witnessed all of this. So my feeling is, what is the process for? You see what he did. He's not ashamed of anything. He's not denying anything. He's not denying it. And he knows that this was supposed to be a takeover. They've got recordings. They've got everything they need. What are they doing? Why are they spending all of this time and money going through these hearings? That just doesn't make any sense to me. That makes no sense. Everything that they need, they have.
Yeah, it's I mean, it is really mind-boggling. And she goes on to talk about when Bill Barr said, you know, a few months after he said no, there was no fraud, apparently the orange anus was in the Oval Office dining room, and through his plate at the, she heard some noise, walked down there to the dining room. He had thrown his plate at the wall, and there was ketchup on the wall and stuff all over the place.
Oh,
and apparently that's not the first time he had done that. He's just completely out of control, unhinged.
Yeah.
And for people to continue to make excuses for this
that's
behavior.
What it is. Yes.
It is unconscionable. I'm going to read to you. I got to bring it up. At the end of the hearing today, Liz Cheney said, I just want to say one more thing. A couple of people, and she said, I'm not going to say who, witnesses have basically received, and she didn't say the word threats, but they've basically received threats from people saying a certain somebody is watching you, and he knows you're loyal, and we hope you're still loyal. And there was two that she read. I'm going to bring them up. But basically, it's witness tampering.
Yeah, it's witness tampering. But did you hear what the other, what are the two of them? I don't remember their names, but they were on last week. And they talked about the fact that this idiot, first of all, the black girl, Shay and her mother, they are.
Ruby.
What was that?
Ruby. Her mother's Ruby. Miss Ruby.
Yeah, Shay and Ruby. Diamond, what does she call herself? Ruby? Lady Ruby.
Lady Ruby.
Well, Lady Ruby and her daughter Shay, they have been tormented. They have been threatened. Their lives have been destroyed. because of this, because of this. How in the world? Here it is, 2022, and people have their lives destroyed because of this?
Let me read you these two things that she says. Liz says, we commonly ask witnesses connected to the Orange Anus whether they have been contacted by anyone attempting to impact testimony. Below are two examples of answers we received. Here's the first one. Quote, what they said to me is, as long as I continue to be a team player, they know that I'm on the team. I'm doing the right thing. I'm protecting who I need to protect. You know, I'll continue to stay in good graces in Trump world. And they have reminded me a couple of times that Trump does read the transcripts. And just to keep that in mind as I proceed through my deposition and interviews with the committee. And the second one is, a person let me know you have, I guess that's likely, I don't know if it's a voicemail left or whatever. A person let me know you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know that he's thinking about you. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing. And when you go in there for your deposition. That's witness tampering. Now,
that's witness tampering. And
can they direct line back to him? I don't know, but you know, people have been convicted on circumstantial evidence, and this is very circumstantial. Yeah,
it's circumstantial, but you know who it is.
Yeah,
right. You know who it is, and you know what it is. It may be circumstantial, but you have a good 90% idea of who it is and what they're doing. That's witness tampering. Everything he does is illegal. So why isn't he called on it? He doesn't do one thing that is within the law. Everything that he does is outside of the law. Everything.
So and why if called on? If they don't do anything to him, I don't expect him to go to jail. I just, you know. But if they don't prosecute and do something, then we are no longer a country of laws. We're just not. It doesn't matter. You get into a certain position, the laws, you are above the law. And they are saying you're above the law. And I was watching a guy, I don't know who he was, a black guy, and he said he was a former conservative. And he was talking to a guy that's not a conservative. And he said, well, you know, some people are saying that it will further divide the country. And do we really want to go down that thing? You know, people are talking about civil wars. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. A, the country's already divided. And why is everybody so worried about pissing off people on the right? What about the people on the left?
The left. Exactly. Exactly. And they're talking about it now on the news. But every aspect of illegal behavior is what has taken place.
Yeah.
Everything that is illegal is what they have done. Everything from coercion, everything from witness tampering, everything from lying under oath. They haven't touched anything that is legal. They've been so outside of the lines of legality until it's stupid to even take this any further. I don't even know why they're even doing this. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's a waste of time. When you see these recordings and you see what they're doing, and I'm looking at it now, this is just... And they want to take this and do what? What are they trying to prove?
Well, they've got to hand it over to Merrick Garland, and they got to say, you got to do something here. Merrick Garland has got to do something. He's running the DOJ. He's got to do something.
Got to do something because the proof is right here. What else do you need? What else do you need? And they said in the very beginning, and Adam Schiff continues to say it, if it were under any other circumstance, we wouldn't be going through this. They would have thrown the book, the paper, the law, everything. They would have done everything. They would have talked about not wasting taxpayer time and money.
And he's so infantile. When he sent the messages out on his platform, everybody knew it, and people on the news called it. What he's going to say? I don't know her. I barely knew her. I heard bad things about it, and those are the exact things that he said. It's mind boggling. I'm running out of words to describe this. You know, come on.
Yeah. I think the country is running out of.
They're running out of gray matter.
Yeah.
They've run out of brains.
Because you know, this this doesn't even, Adam Schiff, the other day, he was so disgusted. Adam Schiff has been disgusted from day one. How many, look at this. They're in the chambers. They're holding guns at the doors. And this idiot, this maggot, is standing here with his hands up. This is unconscionable. This couldn't happen. Did you see the guy with all of the armor on, and on the front of it, it said Civil War?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was, they showed his picture on the news, the front of his jacket with all of his armor, his bulletproof vest, his bullets, his, all his weaponry. It says Civil War. Jeff Sessions is sitting here looking at, looking like Humpty Dumpty on a cracker because of what he is. This doesn't even make sense. It doesn't, how in the world could the world look at this and think that this country is a leader in anything? Mm-hmm. This is not leadership at all. No. This isn't leadership.
No. And this, we are already careening toward a country of no laws because, remember, sanctuary cities. Remember, people on the right were talking about a lot of sheriffs and police chiefs around the country were not, if they said if they start banning weapons, they're not going to enforce them. We've got AGs in states now because of the Roe v. Wade being overturned. AGs are not going to enforce that. Whichever side you end up on, I'm not going to get into that. But the point is, next thing come up, you got people say, well, we're not going to abide by that one. We're not going to abide by this one. It's becoming a free-for-all.
Yeah, it's becoming a free-for-all. This has become a lawless country. This has become not only a free-for-all, but you don't know which way is right, left, up, down, in, out, because everything is just so dysfunctional and chaotic. It's hard to tell.
So that's a good segue into the Roe versus Wade right. And the impact that's going to have. That's just now they most states have filed injunctions, and so they can't the states can't ban abortions. We're not now because they've got to go through litigations. I think like all 13 states have filed injunctions, so they may have overturned Roe v. Wade, but the states can't do anything about it until they get to the courts. Are you muted?
What I saw today was that moron, Clarence Thomas, he's talking about, there was something else that he was talking about today. It was either today or yesterday. And Newt Gingrich is talking about Brown versus the Board of Education is next. Dismantle that. Okay. Yep. Dismantle that. What they're getting to, and this Roe v. Wade thing, this overturning Roe v. Wade after all these years, I hope they riot until the sky turns pink, because this is not only a travesty, but you've got middle-aged white men who have no idea what they're doing or what they're even talking about.
You know, this is not about saving babies. This is about control. This is about the fact that white births are way down, and they're afraid they're being taken over. You know, this is not about doing things for women. And what it also is keeping poor people poor. They want to also look at banning contraception.
And how in the world could that be a service to women when you say you're banning abortions? You're doing that for what? Because that ain't for women. Those middle-aged crackers who claim they're doing this to save women, to say, you crackers have no idea what you're talking about. That has nothing to do with women's rights. What is right is that you leave women and their bodies alone. You leave girls, ladies, women, and their bodies alone. Because middle-aged crackers, middle-aged white men who are crackers, have no idea what they're talking about. They never birthed a child. They can't have an abortion. They don't know what it means to take a birth control pill. They don't know what it means to force a young girl into anything unless they're the perpetrator, unless they're the pedophile.
No. In some states want to have no exceptions for rape and incest. So a 12-year-old girl gets raped by her uncle.
Right.
And the thing about it is, let one of their daughters get pregnant by Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Go ahead, Leonard. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Dr. Kildare, do you make
that call? Kildare, exactly. You know, what's interesting, you were talking about the January 6th hearing, but when we had the Watergate, and that was in 1973, so that's almost 50 years ago, right? It's 49 years ago. Okay. They wouldn't have done anything to Nixon. The only difference is the Republicans still believed in the legal system and the integrity of the government. They asked him to resign. Okay.
Yep.
But today's Republicans and government, they didn't ask Trump to resign. And see, we keep talking about Trump, but that's just like, Yolanda, you going to the school. And you tell all the high school kids to start fighting one another. Somebody agrees with that, okay? You don't have that kind of power. So when they're having the hearing, they're not bringing Trump to the hearing. They're bringing all his cohorts. And those who started asking for a pardon before any of this started, because they know. So, I mean, a lot of what we're talking about is really falling on deaf ears. And I've talked to some other people, and you know, about this, and it has to do with the same thing. This inflation was by design.
Yeah.
Because there's no excuse to say why did everything go up? And the reason is, if you have this kind of inflation nationwide, people don't have time to watch TV. All they have time for is trying to exist. And once you're in a survival mode, you can't really be productive. Why? Because you're in a survival mode. And here's the thing. These people that have come from different countries, even with the inflation going up, if they have some peace of mind and they have the ability to work, they're going to adjust to this. And this is the unfortunate part. People like you and I, they came up during the 60s. The only advantage that we have is we've seen this party before.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the first time for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For us, this is old hat. And in order for it to be old hat, what happened back then? Nothing. What's going to happen now? Nothing.
That's what I keep telling my
wife. We're just really wasting our time. And I was just watching a program, and it bothered me even more. I don't know if anybody's keeping up with Sudan or not, because those people are dying. And what they did was they were getting support from United Nations and the United States. And because of the Ukrainian war, they're taking the drop ship food that they would normally get and then take it to the Ukrainian. And one of the things that the African people that they interviewed said, they're taking the food from us to get, because the white people are at war. That's how they see it.
Yeah.
And once you see what's going on in Sudan, I mean, it's heartbreaking, because it's our people, you know, and really, what are we doing about it? You know, did you pull up anything, Kenny? Because I know
you jump on it right away. Yeah, but what about, I wanted to circle back talking about the inflation thing. That's what I keep telling my wife, is this is cyclical, you know. And so you just have to weather the storm and work your way through it, and it will turn around. Now, the other thing is that what they do is say something's a dollar, and then during a time like this it goes up to $3. They'll take it back down to $2, and you'll be happy. So that exactly. way, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's bad, it's bad. Yeah, that was, it's more than it was to begin with, but that's how they get it to raise prices, you know. And so we'll get past this. Things are going to go back down, but it's never going to go back to where it was before.
It's going to go back to the way it was. And remember, that's what people, that's the other thing. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's what people are hoping and thinking. It's not going to go back. Nothing. It ever goes back.
It never goes back. Remember after the gas crunch in 72?
Yes.
After we got past the gas crunch, did the prices go back down?
Never did. And remember, when we started driving, we were buying gas at 20 cents. And remember,
it was 30 cents when I started, 33 cents. So.
Well, it was 20 cents when I started. And we used to go down to Fair Oaks and Woodbury at the mobile station and buy gas. Do you remember the time, and this is off the cuff, off the side, Daddy had to pay
I don't remember the guy's name, but we used to go in there and just sign the thing.
Yeah, wasn't it Miller?
I don't remember.
No, the family, are you talking about the family that had the gas station?
Yeah. Was the one on the north.
No, the white guy that owned the gas
northeast station. Northeast corner.
Yes. The white guy that owned the gas station, the little white guy.
Yeah. Next to the little liquor store there.
Yeah, no, I know. But didn't a black family have the old black man that used to give us a hard time?
No.
But do you remember him?
I don't remember him.
Okay, I'm talking about the northwest corner.
Yeah, next to Mini Mart. That was a brother.
About the Mini Mart. I'm talking about the gas
station. No, you don't. Yeah, across Fair Oaks from there. Across from Fair Oaks,
on the other side.
Yeah, that's where our dad had an account, and we just go in and sign the paper. Yeah,
and it was 20 cents.
Yeah, he almost took me. Yeah,
Daddy had to go and pay the bill.
The bill
was $20.
Mm-hmm. And we caught heck.
You would have thought it was $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
We caught double hockey sticks because he had to pay $20 on that gas bill.
Of course, I think me and my buddies went to the beach all summer long. So
yeah, and that $20, oh Lord, he's still hot. That $20 made all the difference. And he wanted to know how we could spend that much money on gas in the car
use that example. Excuse me. Use that example. And was that just 50 years ago? Was that still less than 50 years ago?
That was 50 years ago.
That was 50 plus.
50 plus. What, in the 60s?
It was the 68. You just
started driving from 69, right?
69, 70.
Okay, so 50 years, and we're talking about gas that was 20, 25 cents, 30 cents.
20
and
cents,
now,
20
it,
cents.
Now it's seven. Now it's $7. If you look at that markup, and not to even mention what bread costs, not to mention what a pound of bacon costs. I mean, when you start to look at all of these things and you're saying 50 years, Where did it jump? Where did the gradual jump?
Yeah.
And now let's look at the cost of living. Now look at the salary. What was the salary back during that time, a yearly salary? And then look at what the average salary right now is. What is the average black family salary? Isn't it, is it 35,000 right now?
You know what? I want to say it's between 35 and 45,000.
Right. And I said family. I didn't say, annual salary per person. I'm talking about a family.
Right. A family. That's what it is in California. That's what it is.
So,
and the median house is $1 million. Now make that make sense.
Right.
Make that.
Black median household, 41,134.
See?
Right. And now how are you going to be able to live? Because that means at least.
Right. Exactly.
It's at least three people in that house. I want to say four. The husband and wife and two kids at least.
And don't forget the dog and the guppies.
The dog might be on the menu, so I'm not quite sure.
The guppies might be on the menu. Okay, because you know how black folks like fish. Okay. So
I do want to touch on, go ahead and finish, and I want to touch on something else. Go ahead.
So we're not the way I see it and the way that I'm reading it, we're so out of balance. We are so incredibly out of balance. I don't think anybody can say how we got so out of balance. There is no balance nowadays. We can't balance salaries, wages, and the cost of living. The cost of living, the wages are not commensurate with what people are making.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. How in the world? People are trying to hire people, but they're not trying to pay them $45 an hour. They're paying them $15, $16, $17 an hour, $18 an hour, maybe. And the cost of living, I was in the grocery store today. I'm looking at things going, you got to be kidding me. Things that were 99 cents are $2. They're $2. I looked at, I don't buy bacon, but a pound of bacon is $8.59 at a cheap store.
$8.59 for a pound of bacon?
Or a pound of bacon.
Oh.
And at Costco, a box, which is usually maybe 5 pounds of shrimp or crab, that's anywhere from $59 up to maybe $80 for crab or shrimp. What? Nothing has stayed the same.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's nuts. I do want to touch on the whole gun thing. Supreme Court overturned with regard to concealed carry licenses. There are two types of states. You have a shall issue, then you have a may issue. Texas here is a shall issue. If you go through the process, they shall issue. There's no questions asked. New York and California are may issue. They may or they might, depending upon all these different things, and you have to show good cause to get your concealed carry license in those two states. The Supreme Court overturned it at the federal level, so both states have to open up the concealed carry licenses for anybody that wants them. Now, what they put in there, all the hoops you have to jump through, you know, they can still send you through some hoops. But it's going to be easier for people to get their concealed carry licenses now. Now, what that means in the long run, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. We're just going to have to wait and see. Are there going to be a bunch of people running out to do it? I don't know. I would recommend, if you're black, I would recommend you go out and do it, because things are getting crazy out there. Things are getting very, very crazy out there. And if something happens in the next month, with regard to these January 6th hearings, and for example, the former guy is indicted, those people are going to be very upset. I was in Home Depot. I don't usually shop at Home Depot because the CEO is a big supporter of the former guy, but they didn't have what I needed at Lowe's, so I went over to Home Depot. Guy, ride through the parking lot, big giant American flag and a former guy flag on the back of his truck.
What?
Just driving through the parking lot. You know what I did when I walked past him? I just kind of looked at him and shook my head and I mouthed, dumbass.
Real quick, and it's only because I got a post. You know, we have my little time sensitive app kicked in and says sponsor an advertisement meeting that we have at 6 p.m. Do we want to start now? Because, you know, we're really good at keeping things to an hour. And maybe we can break that record. We don't have another show after 6, correct?
No. This is the only show tonight, so we're good.
So do we still have our meeting at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, we do.
We don't have anybody on the show right now, right? It's just us.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're on the air. We're on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it back.
Yeah, because those that are listening are wondering what you're talking about.
Right. Stop laughing at me, Keanu.
They are wondering, who is that and what is he talking about? Okay. So what the other thing with the gun issue, we can't get to anything else on the news, even though the news is horrible. It's Roe v. Wade. It's the gun issue. It is the travesty in San Antonio, and
it's up to 51 dead.
Yeah, I just saw that a few minutes ago. It's up to 51 dead.
Migrants coming from this southern border in the back of a semi in this blistering heat. And there are three people in custody. They didn't say if it's the driver, who were the three people. They haven't said. But the people were in the back of the truck. The truck was apparently parked somewhere, and somebody walked by and heard people yelling help or something like that. Went and got the authorities to open it up. They haven't said exactly how many people were in there, but 51 were dead.
Well, they said first they said there were 46 people inside the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Wow. Inside the trailer.
The beginning, yeah.
Yeah, inside the trailer. I just saw a few minutes ago that it's up to 51 people. There were children in there. There were 16 people that survived. And in that 16, children were also a part of that 16.
Yeah, none of the children died.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saying that the truck was a refrigerator truck, and it should have had refrigeration in there, but it didn't.
It didn't
so
have
they
it.
They were closed in there, tight as Dick's headband. But this is not the first time that this has happened.
That's right.
No, it's not.
The first time. This is not the first time.
No, but this is the worst.
This is the worst. But this time, the number has jumped up from 46 to 51.
Yeah, 51. It's 51 right now. So there must be 51, 61. You said 16 kids, and they all survived. So there's 71, 51, 61. So about
I thought it was 16 people, which included some kids, but not that many.
51 people are dead.
Yeah, but 16 people survived.
Okay, I didn't see about that. Let me see.
Yeah, 16 people survived, which included some kids. And I don't know the number of kids.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, 16 and 51. So.
Right. So don't know if, but they're not saying who did what. They're not calling any names. They don't know who the owner of the truck is. All they know is that they were crossing the border and they stopped there. And Greg Abbott just said that this is on Biden's hands. This is on his hands. And yeah. Greg Abbott is so retarded. I can't believe he's still sitting there. He's so retarded, it's embarrassing. He is, the things that come out of his mouth, nobody in their right mind would make the kind of remarks that he
39 makes. Men, 12 women. 34 people have been potentially identified. Now they're saying a county spokesperson said that some of them that died are possibly under the age of 18. Yeah, so I'm reading here. I can't see. I haven't seen where it said how many people survived. But at any rate, it's tragic. It's absolutely tragic.
It's tragic. And Biden is saying that there are millions of dollars that have been spent to keep people safe at the border. And Greg Abbott is saying that this is on Biden's hands. This happened because he won't do what's right to stop people from trying to come across the border. Greg Abbott, every time he opens his mouth, he sounds more and more like a retard. This, like, how in the world? Now, it was the maggot that's, look at that. It was the maggot that started this closing the border. He was going to build the wall. He was going to have Mexico pay for it. He was going to stop all of this. He started that. It hasn't happened. He's not going to get Mexico to pay for it. He didn't build a wall. He never was. People from Mexico are still coming over here.
That's another problem that they don't want to solve. It's easy to solve. If you start going after, if you have people here who are here illegally, go after the companies that hire them. Find the companies that hire them. Shut them down. There'll be no reason to come here. It's that simple. But they won't do that.
It's widespread. But
they don't want to fix it.
No, it's just like other things. It's just like the other dysfunction. They don't want to fix it. So in not fixing it, lots of people keep their jobs. because it allows them to say, I have a job. I'm trying to fix it. It's like the situation here in LA with people who are not in homes. How can the city fathers of LA, how can these developers and all of these people not have homes for people living on the street?
Well, let me ask you this question. What good does it do for people? I guess they want to, instead of calling them homeless, they want to call them unhoused.
Unhoused people. Because it's such, it's,
does that really help?
Homeless. No, it doesn't help. No. Unhoused. It's like the girl that says a criminal is not a criminal. He didn't commit a criminal act. He committed harm against the community. He committed a criminal act, harm against the community. Why color it? Why dress it up?
Okay, call him a harminal.
Yeah, harminal. So he committed, he harmed the community. That's called a criminal act. He committed a criminal act. Why are you dressing this up so that it looks pretty? It's more palatable. It's easier to digest. It's better on the ears. That's why you can't get anything fixed. I tell folks, go down on Imperial and Flower, right at the 110 freeway. There are containers that are on a vacant lot, and these containers are stacked, I think, either 3 or 4 high. These are containers that are going to house people. Now, how long does it take to open these containers, put some windows in, put some plumbing in, and house these people? And that's $1 million? Did you see the article that says it's going to take $1 million per person, per unit? How in the world? How in the world? Okay.
And you know, what about the people who don't want to abide by the rules? Because you have to have rules when you're in those places. There's a lot of people who just don't want to abide by the rules. Yeah. You know, I mean, the problem is so bad. I don't even know if you can fix it at this point.
You know what? I don't think it's fixable. I don't think it's fixable. And I want to ask someone who is a regular here on Intentional Talk Radio. I'd like to ask Teaser what he thinks. He is a man in real estate in L.A. And I want to ask him why the city is saying it's anywhere from $800,000 to $1 million per unit to house someone who's been sleeping on the street for anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Why does it cost so much? And the fathers, the city fathers, don't mind saying it. They put it in print. It's been in the newspaper. It's been on the internet. It's been on the news that it's anywhere from $800 to $1,000. The first report was that it was $800,000 to house someone who was homeless. Now it's $1 million to house someone who was homeless, still homeless. I would like to ask Teaser if he knows anything about that. Why do you think it costs so much money, Teaser?
Hi, thank you, Colette. Yeah, you know, I've heard several variations of that, you know, and things, of course, are changing on a daily basis in real estate. A lot of the times, be it city, county, they have incentives. They have bids, if you will. And I hate to get political, too, but a lot of times it's their friends, like your number 45, for example. He was like prime example, in my opinion, of course, how things operate in the business world. You know, you grease my palm, I'll grease yours, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, well, okay. And that's, I'm using that just as my opinion. Okay. I mean, things I've observed and experienced. They get their buddies in, you know, like the fence along Mexico, for example. Good prime example. And I don't think 100 feet of that was done. There's probably repair. But then, of course, you know, with the last 2 to 3 years, COVID, of course, has taken I'm going to give that some credence as far as prices going up. I mean, it's gouging, really, just like the gas prices is relevant to real estate. Whereas like last year this time up until maybe the first quarter this year. You know, things are being outbidded over the asking price, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I had clients that were qualified, but you know, when you're number 20 in line, okay, then
and that's in LA?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh my goodness.
God.
Oh my God. I'm talking, say for example, a house on the average in LA is maybe $700,000-$800,000. And that's not a
that's not even a nice house, right?
It's not even a nice house.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, right
down that's for street, a mailbox. That's for a mailbox.
Right. You said it better. That's not even a condo, it's like a mailbox practically. But now my point, and you're getting back to the question that you mentioned. And I heard the same thing. At first it was like 500,000 for like the little mini, was a term for it. I'm at a loss now, but,
well, those containers
yes.
that come in off of ships
right.
that are attached to trucks, they're right. turning those containers into living quarters.
Yes.
How could those containers cost anywhere from $800 to $1,000 to house the unhousable? How?
Yeah.
You cannot tell me, I don't care what you do to it.
Right.
You cannot make that into an $800,000 living quarters.
Or 800,000?
800,000 to a million.
For one
container. Yes.
I'm yes. in the wrong business.
Yes.
But a lot of it has to do with whom you hire. And, you know, who gets the contract, you know, and it goes, escalates from there.
But why are people allowing it? Why are people saying that's okay?
Let me say this. I was talking to a friend of mine the other night and we got into a political conversation and I can't remember how we segued into it, but have you guys ever seen this Tiny House Nation?
Yes.
There's a channel. When I turn my TV on, I've got like a smart TV, and it tells you what you want to do, all these things. And it defaults to the Tiny House Nation. And I started thinking about this. You know what that's all about? That is all about telling you they're priming people to be comfortable with living in 200 to 500 square feet. They're making it so cool to live in that small of an area. Now, we do live in excess here in the United States. We have way too much stuff, you know, because we love our stuff here. You know, most people in most countries around the world, you know, have their small refrigerators. They go to the store more often. They don't have the big, huge lawns and the backyards and everything that we have, which, you know, I admit I enjoy having. But at the flip side, what they're trying to do is they're really trying to take us back to the 1920s when you had the rich and then everybody else. A two-tier
economic economy. Slavery. Economic slavery.
Yes. Yes. And the Republicans are trying to get rid of Social Security. Rick Scott yes. says they need to vote on Social Security and Medicare every 5 years. And if it's a good program, we'll pass it. Are you freaking kidding me? And this is a guy who was prosecuted for defrauding Medicare. One of the few things that works in this country, Social Security and Medicare, they're trying to get rid of it.
They're trying to get rid of it. Yes. They're trying to get rid of it. And our kids, the generation after us, they won't see Medicare. They will not see Medicare. Okay. They just will not see Medicare.
You know what?
They're trying to gut Medicare.
And you know how you fix Social Security? Right now,
yeah, leave it alone.
You don't, no. You, right now, you only pay into Social Security on the first $147,000 of your income. So if you make $147,000 or less, you're paying into Social Security. Anything you make over $147,000, so if you make $500,000, $1 million a year, you're still only paying up to the percentage, like things like 4%, up to $147,000. Raise that to $500,000, raise that to $1 million, raise that to $10 million that they're still having to pay. You know, and the excuse is, well, they've got all that money. They're not getting anything out of Social Security. It doesn't matter. Guess what? My kids are out of school, but I still pay school taxes and my property tax. So if that's going to be how we do it, I don't want to be paying for these schools anymore.
Okay, but let's take it a little further. Well, wait a minute. We talk in an election year. We talk all about voting. Everybody votes. We want everybody to vote. And we put these, oh, I guess I can't use that word, C-R-A-C-K-E-R-S, I won't use that word. Okay, we put those old white men, I guess that's better, we put those old middle-aged white men in office. They get perks, they don't have to get Medicare because they get insurance, they get everything for the rest of their lives. They're taken care of for the rest of their lives, and their families are. They get health care. They get a pension. They get everything paid for. Some of them get living quarters. They don't have to pay for anything. Well, wait just a freaking minute. If it's good enough for you, it's not good enough for the American citizen. You're going to say what the American citizens shouldn't get, and those are the very same people that voted you and your tired, rusty self into some office. Okay. So if we voted for you and you get all of these things, that isn't good enough for the American people who voted you in office. So come on.
Term limits. There needs to be term limits, and there needs to be a age window. You should not be able to be a congressperson until you are at least 30 years old. We got, what's his name? And he just lost, guy in a wheelchair, Madison Cawthorn. I think he's like 25, 26 years old.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm sorry. At 25, 26 years old, you are not mature enough to be out there making those sorts of decisions.
No.
And I think you should be 30 through 70. And after that, you're done. We don't need to have 80-year-old people out there making policy.
Okay, you know? Because look at Mitch with a B. Look at him. Nobody should have to worry about what that. Oh, I can't spell it even.
And you know what? You know what he just said. If he's going to be very picky about approving any of Biden's picks.
He did the same thing to President Obama. Every time something goes awry, you can rest assured he's going to be behind it.
But again, I'm firm believer that
term limits. He has no business in office.
He doesn't. But I'm a firm believer in people that can only do to you what you allow. The Democrats have been weak, 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 and on top of that, they've been weak. You know, they allow, for example, they've allowed the Republicans to make being a liberal a bad word. The Republicans, the conservatives, have made entitlements a bad word. These are entitlement programs. Damn right I'm entitled to it. I've been paying into Social Security. I've been paying into Medicare. I'm entitled to it. There's nothing wrong with it. But they make it a bad word. And God bless her, Michelle Obama, when she said, when they go low, we go high. I'm sorry. That's the wrong thing. Because the Democrats have been going high, and the Republicans have proved that there's no floor in terms of how low they'll go. When you think they've hit rock bottom, they will continue to dig further and further and further and further.
Democrats have been nice.
They've been trying to be nice and not say the wrong thing. They were talking to people today about what they thought about the hearing. I'm waiting on somebody to say, you know, put the melon farmer in jail.
Right.
You know, just call it like
probably
it is.
They haven't said that.
I don't want to do this. Now, shut the front door, you know?
Okay. Because that, they allow these things to go on, and it doesn't change the society. It doesn't change anything. It creates more confusion. It creates more dysfunction. It creates more hysteria. People don't know what to think. People don't know what to do. When you see what's going on in some of these major cities, how in the world could these kinds of things be going on? And there are people at the helm. People are at the helm, and they call themselves running the country. Okay? How is it? And everything is going awry. Everything. There's no order in this country at all. There's no order. So how is it? There's no order. And who's going to bring order to the country? It ain't going to be those folks.
And I still want to know why the Democrats have not tried to pass a bill that says an impeached president cannot run again.
I want to know the same thing.
And it's really simple. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Be able to run again.
Why are they going? Yeah, they need to be going through all this stuff to try to prosecute him. But if you don't want him to run, pass a bill. That's not a law. That is not a law.
Right. And they should be saying he will never. I've heard that that's what they're saying. But there is no law. There is no law. But they're talking about how they're putting him in position to run in 24. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. He should never, ever be on anybody's piece of paper except the pieces of paper that say he is in prison. That's the only pieces of paper that he needs to be on. Okay? Yeah, the papers that say that he's locked up.
Yeah, there's no law right now that says he can't run. That's right. Why he's seizing it. And he's made $250 million talking about a legal defense fund, getting money from people. Turns out the legal defense fund does not even exist.
Right. He's a liar and a thief and a fraud. And he should be exiled. Thank you, Tisa. He should be exiled. Okay? He should be exiled. There's no way in the world that he should be able to come out. He should never be able to come from under the rock that he has formerly been under. And he's running around the country talking about what he's going to do. He's talking about Biden, Uncle Joe. And he's doing things that should never be done. He should not be allowed to get away with this. He's allowed to get away with this because the Dems are weak, and people in these major cities, the cities where he's going, he's getting away with it. He's being invited to these cities. He's having rallies. And why? With the things that he has caused, he should never be able to do anything else in this country. You notice nobody has ever said anything about a presidential library for him. You see that? He will not get a presidential library.
Because they would only have to use a Volkswagen to put it in.
Yeah, but remember, the only thing that could go into a presidential library for that maggot would be the Book of Lies. That would be the only thing. The Book of Lies. Because that's all he has ever done. The Book of Lies. Okay? So how is it we allow these things to go on and we vote? And we vote. And don't forget, I hope some of you read what Newt Gingrich said about Kamala Harris. He should not be allowed to say the things.
They are not. You know, it's like you criticize the orange guy and people want to jump on you. Well, you shouldn't criticize. He has done nothing but criticize people the entire time he was in office. You know, all he did was talk about people like a child, like a petulant child, you know, make names up. And I've run out of things to say. I'm sorry.
That's right. Most people have. Most people have run out of things to say about him. But the very idea that Newt Gingrich, with all of his damning actions while he was in office, the things that he said about Kamala Harris. It's okay if we say things about Kamala Harris, but not him. And it's in print. He says if anything should happen to Biden and she takes over, he said the country is screwed. He says she's incompetent. He calls her dumb. He called her.
And why aren't the Democrats harping on the fact that COVID happened under the last guy and he screwed the pooch on that.
Yep.
They're not saying, that's what gets me. It's like, you know, if they want somebody to come back, just continue to harp on that, but they don't do it. And we got about 60 seconds.
Right. They don't do it. Are they afraid? What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? The Dems don't stand up to him. Why not? We vote Democrat. And this is what we get. They're afraid of him. They're afraid of the right.
And now they're talking about an explosive testimony. Dems, what are you doing? You're not representing the people of this country that voted for you. Why? Why? That is crazy. That is crazy. How do we get to any kind of peace? How do we get to any kind of balance in this country when we have this kind of stuff going on? When we have this major dysfunction going on? How do we do that? And Leonard, I'm going to let you close us out with the last word. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. We will have more of these conversations in future shows. As a matter of fact, we will have more conversation tomorrow on In the Mix, Conversations with Colette and Corliss. Be sure to join us right here on ITRNradio.com at 5 p.m. Leonard.
Yeah, I think this show was something that's really needed. And I almost view it as therapy. Because, you know, we have about 6 people on the show, and there's a fine line between sane and insane. You know, I would put my money on Kenny because he got an arsenal. But God help Texas if he snapped. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. And we gonna all know him, you know, what happened, Kenny? Well, I just didn't like the way things were going. And I wanted to make an impact. On the serious side, you know, this is really not funny because many of us won't be here. I'll be just conservative in the next 30 years. If the government is like this, it was like this in 73, it's like this now in 2022. Let's add another 20 years. What is it going to be like in 2042? You know what I mean? And right now we're not getting anything done. And it's kind of scary where we're at. I mean, if you stop for a minute, because I did want to interject and I just finished with this. You remember in the 60s when we wanted Black History? It was called Black History. Now it's called critical race theory. That doesn't make any sense because all we're going to do is talk about the history of the United States. So why would it be considered critical?
Hold on the conversation. I'll just say this. I think the problem is people that are naming these things don't understand words matter. You know, and you call it critical race. You call it critical race theory. There's a certain sect of non-melanated people who are offended by that, and their ears perk up, and they get they set their hair on fire and stuff like that. So,
but good show again, anyway.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and this is Intentional Talk Radio Network, and we are going to make sure that we see you tomorrow, and we're going to make sure that we continue this conversation. We haven't finished. Right here on Solutions. Change matters, solutions. We will see you tomorrow. Stick and stay and do not go away. This is where we talk to you, for you, with you, and about you. And it is all good. Join us again tomorrow for In the Mix at 5 p.m. right here on ITRNradio.com. Have a good evening. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. And stick, stay, don't go away, and be cool. Fan yourself. Get a cold drink because it is a toasty, toasty warm afternoon. Have a good evening, folks. Take care.